opening in prayer. I ask the Lord to be with us while the others are coming. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. You know our beginning from our ending and everything in between. We're so grateful, Lord, that you caused us to know that we needed a Saviour. And then you caused us to know that you were that Saviour. And we just love the people as you love us, Lord. We think of the people overseas that are listening in. Bless them at their time of listening. Thank you, Lord, for all the promises in the Word of God, because they are for us. We just need to appropriate them as applies to our own lives. We also want to be able to be tools in the hands of our Lord to tell others about the love of God. Many people don't want to know, don't understand, and we can't be concerned about it other than tell them. And if they don't want it, we need to pray for them. Yeah. Have your way with us, Lord. Be with us this afternoon as we just have a few hymns and testimony. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While you remain seated, 269, I thirsted in a barren land. I thirsted in a barren land of sin and shame. Lying there I found, but to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came. Springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul I satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, the wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Your glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. Living water, abounding. Oh sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free. His experience can be satisfied.
That was it.
Okay, let's sing 266. They were gathered in the upper room. They were gathered in the upper room. One of them. Upper room all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Jesus came and he did for them that day. He'll do for you the same. Glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of
can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them. When I can say I'm one of them, them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin.
Let's have another one, then we'll have testimonies if there's any. 247, sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy, his grace in the mansion, bright and blessed. Ever as a place when we all get together. Day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing shouts of victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Traveling days are over, not shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and serving every day, one glimpse of him in glory will worlds of life repay. When we all get to heaven, day of rejoicing that will be. When we all
testimonies, we'd like to be indicated so we can come to you. Everyone got a testimony? True. Who? Tadu, okay.
Hallelujah. I want to praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for helping us, going through what we only He could bring us through. As the word this morning, the glory be to His holy name. And bringing us out of that yucky place or wherever it was going. But hey, like the word said, focus. And not only that, humble yourself. Amen. Glory to God for that humility.
Any others? You had one last week that you never got to say, Barbara. What was that? When you got home, you reminded me.
It was just that how the Lord's with us every minute of the day. I go to sort of kind of plan my day as I think it's going to be, but in the morning, I always say, Lord, just guide my way. Just let me know where you want me to be. And quite often He's turned me in a totally different direction, utterly confused and disorganized me personally. But you can see when the Lord leads you, how He's led you to someone or to something better than what you think you were going to do. It's just such peace and rest in my heart that I know that whatever I'm going to do, because I love the Lord and I've committed myself to Him sincerely, I know I'm going to be okay. And He certainly saved my life many times.
Amen. I know that's true because she's my wife. Who? Oh, you go ahead, Brother Paul.
Remembered one, just a little testimony when Keith and I were out getting firewood probably the week before now, but a couple of little things that happened. We, at one stage, we would put the trailer up, towed the trailer up the hill, and we noticed when we got to the top that we'd lost the screw on the U-bolt. I found the U-bolt in the middle of the driveway as we were going up, but the little screw part of it, I thought, oh, that'll be hard to find down all the way down there. But no, we just gave it to the Lord, and then as we walked back down the track, sure enough, right in the middle, nice and easy to see, was this little wee bolt that we needed for that. For the shackle, yes.
Years ago, many of them.
And the other one was the same place, working on the firewood. I had a pair of safety glasses that I was using, and suddenly I noticed I didn't have them on anymore. And I thought, oh, crumbs, Lord, it'd be hard to find them around here. And I had a good look around, but no, I didn't find them anywhere. But then I thought, oh, I'd better check that if my trailer's not too heavy. So I climbed down underneath the trailer to have a look at the springs and put my hand right on top of my safety glasses. I just thank the Lord for returning them for us. Amen.
Amen. It's uplifting when these things happen. Sister Mel, I think, has one.
I want to say what a blessing it is to come to the church early in the morning. I do on Sunday morning because I'm able to. But what I was really blessed to sit here with my eyes closed and hear the brothers sing and pick their guitars and sing. It was just beautiful. I really do thank the Lord. It's worthwhile coming early to hear them. And I thank God for it. Bless those brothers, Lord, and each one that comes here. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, I know what it's like sometimes. You're sitting down the back there waiting to come up here. Just to feel the presence of the Lord is really, really good. I miss it if it's not just right, you know, but He's there. Any others? Okay, well, let's sing one more and then Brother Howard will come. It's 182. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Shall we stand as we sing?
We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again.
You may be seated.
We're together again. We get together again because of the blood of Jesus. That's what's made us one in Him. Hallelujah. Shall we stand for the reading of God's Word? Found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Which says, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." May God bless the reading of His Word. Shall we just pray? Lord, as we come for a few moments around Thy Word, I pray, Lord Jesus, that You'd make it real to us, real to me, Lord, real to my brothers and sisters here and those afar. We ask it in Jesus' name that Your Word will speak to us, for it's always up to date, it's always true. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to speak about why time is so precious. Why time is so precious. It says, therefore, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So it's an interesting statement, isn't it? To redeem the time makes to make good use of the time. Don't waste the time. It says here in the Amplified Bible, so be careful how you live. Ooh. Not as fools, but as those who are wise, making the most of every opportunity for doing good. So that's really good, isn't it? So be careful how you live. Not as fools, but as those who are wise, making the most of every opportunity for doing good. When you think of time, it's probably the greatest commodity we ever have is time. I'll tell you why. There's nothing to compare with it. And the only opportunity with it, you only have an opportunity with it. Then it's gone forever. Yesterday was used. The time of yesterday was used. You can't go back and say, I should have done this, or I should have done that. Gone. So click. It's just like a clock clicking by. When the time's gone, it's gone forever. And time will not always be ours. So why is time so precious? It gives us time to be right with God. It gives us time to serve the Lord. You'll never have another opportunity. Why didn't I spend time for the Lord? Gone. So you can only live today once, as we said. Then it's gone forever. We all have been given, I believe, like a time clock. And it's been set. Some have less time, some have more time. And it's still ticking today. So when it gets to zero, when your clock gets to zero, your time's up on earth. You can't say, I need more time. No, it's up. So we're going to redeem the time that we have, because the days are evil. And that's this day. It says in Ephesians, and note Ephesians 5:16, the wise redeeming the time. You know, we know in the Bible in Matthew 25, they didn't make use of the time. They had, and they fell asleep. The Lord came, and they weren't ready. They didn't redeem the time. They didn't make good use of it. Time is running out, especially for us Gentiles. And God will turn to the Jews. Gentiles be left in their sin. Praise the Lord. I believe the Gentile days are just about over. God's finished with us. We've had our opportunity. He sent the great men of God to us, great servants of Christ. And people just slipped through their fingers. They didn't take notice of what God was saying to us. It may be too late for many of people who are left here. How many today do you see receiving the Holy Ghost like we used to? I remember in the early days. People used to receive the Holy Ghost on a regular basis. I'm not talking just like a shallow experience. You see it sometimes in Pentecostal circles where they're all just, it's all froth and bubbled. And I don't say that disrespectfully, because sometimes it's the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's not. And people just get excited, but really, when you see a deep work of the Holy Spirit, it brings you to His Word. It causes you to obey His Word and you do something about it. Because God will always honor and back His own Word. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, as I said this morning, a holy life comes out of you. Why? Because it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost produces a holy life. Not just a religious life, no. Brings out a holy life. You don't do the things you used to do. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll read that, verse 5:17, which says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation, a new person. You're not a churchgoer, you're a new person. You may go to church, of course. Old things have passed away, old habits, old desires. Behold, all things are become new. When you're born again, when the baby's born, it's a new life. A new, brand new life. So wonderful, isn't it? And in the spiritual, when you're born again, you're a new creature, a new life, new desires. Praise be to God. Who's glad they're born again?
Amen.
Amen. So we see the age we're living in, this church age, has been the last church age. We're all aware of that. Laodicea is the last church age before the coming of the Lord. It's full of lukewarmness, and it's taken its grip everywhere. People are more interested in entertainment, more interested in the things of the world. They have a greater love for the things of the flesh. Lovers of pleasure, the Bible says, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, just a form of it. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. You can read that in 2 Timothy if you want, 2, 3, 4. Sure, they had a confession of God, but God came second. Self first, God second. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, the part of it there, it says, for the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know, brothers and sisters, people are hunting for money. They want as much money as they can, but it's a curse to you. The more you get, the further away you get from God. I've been warned about it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say that money was evil, but it said the love of it is the root of all evil. So we need to flee from all these things. The love of money, idolatry, youthful lusts, seeking a position, seeking to be recognized are all snares of the devil. And we need to flee it. May God help us. People are not discerning the lateness of the hour. Oh, they'll continue on like this, you know, the virus will go away. It may not. People are not discerning. It says that, Jesus said that in Matthew 16, verse 3. But you cannot discern. You cannot discern the face of the sky, neither can you discern the signs of the times. That's reality. You go out there, people talk to people on the street, you know Jesus coming, the first thing they'll say, who's Jesus? That's where we got to. They don't even know the Lord. They don't even know He's coming. But one day He'll come and it's all over. The judgment of God will follow. So people are not discerning the lateness of the hour. And Jesus said that they can't discern the signs of the times. Our very actions declare our understanding of what time is. You know, we know God promised to return to Israel, return them back home. The fig tree is putting forth its bud. People say, oh, Israel, you know, they're this and they're that. Listen, the Israel, the true Israel, not just everyone in Israel, but the elect Israel are God's children. And they're going to be there on that day by the grace of God. And God promised to restore our hearts back to the faith of our fathers, back to the early church, back to the beginning of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church. Men's knowledge is greatly increased. We see that. The Bible says so. Immorality and perverseness beyond anything we could have thought possible. This is prophecy being fulfilled to the letter. Churches and fellowships becoming cold. Entertainment centres, they are. They're just entertainment centres. I'm not thinking of any, but I know that they do. It's just all about music and all that stuff, and I'm all for that. But if that's all it is, it's just entertainment. The love of many shall wax cold. They lose a love for God. But those that endure unto the end. It's an endurance here, brother. Sister, an endurance, the same shall be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, we read this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Ooh. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is going to happen. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? May the Lord help us. So we come to the question, how much time do we have left? We're talking about the importance of time. I would say very little, and for many, it's already passed. The time is a time of opportunity for you to get right with God. It's not always there. So you've got to redeem the opportunity, redeem the time. They knew not the hour of their visitation. They knew not their opportunity. In Luke 17, 22, he said unto the disciples, the Lord, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. I don't want to miss his visitation. Who wants a visitation from God? May he grant it to us all. Hallelujah. So we don't want to miss our opportunities. We say it's a time. God's calling, as we said this morning. No man can come unto me, Jesus said, except my Father draw him. You find that in John 6:44. And the good news is what Jesus said in the same chapter, John 6:37. This is the words of Jesus Christ. Not the words of Howard Searle, not the words of this church or any other preacher. This is what he said. In John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me, all the believers, all the true ones, giveth me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's why we're saying this morning, some young people here, what an opportunity they have to come to the Lord. If you come to the Lord, he will receive you. So we're going to make good use of the opportunity. Because I'll come and during the next convention. You may not be here for the next convention. You're going to come when he calls. He may call you tonight in bed. He may come knocking to take you home. He's, oh, not me. How do you know? You don't know. Any one of us could go at any moment. We've got to be ready. Make good use of the time that God is giving you. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. So true. Never forget, Jesus is intent on saving souls. Won't be Jesus' fault. You can't blame the Lord. He's wanting, he's trying, he's sending messages to you, he's sending people to you. Something to speak to you. I would say slap your face. Wakey, wakey. Wake up. God's trying to speak to you. He's trying to speak to me. 1 John 2, 1 to 2 we read. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Aren't we glad we have an advocate? He's intercessing on our behalf before the Father. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. The Lord died for the sins of the entire world. It will never be God's fault on that day. Never. He died for you. But how many received it? If I came down with $1 million, don't worry, Pauline, I haven't got it. And I'm going to give Sister Pauline $1 million. Like, Sister Pauline, I've got $1 million in the check form here. I give that to you. But she doesn't take it. It's still mine. But when she takes it, she's a millionaire. But she had to take it. It was mine while I had it. And the Lord's giving salvation to the whole world. But they must take it first. Amen. When they receive what he's done for them, it becomes theirs. You believe that, Peter? Absolutely. So God will never be accused of not giving everybody an opportunity, because he wants everyone to come. If we just knew the love of God, how he just craves for souls to come to him. He meant business when he went to Calvary. But if you don't receive it, your blood is on your own hands. So we just pray that he will allow his children to come quickly. So we need to move. When he moves on our life, quickly. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man. We quoted that this morning. That's found in Genesis 6:3. God never forces you. He'll never force anybody. He's just not that way. If you want to come to him, you love him, he wants you to come on your own free will. He could make us all come. We'll be little robots. But he gave us free moral agency to accept what he's done for us. And so we receive it by faith. Lord, I want to be a part of you. You took all my sins away at Calvary. You washed them all away, and I receive that. They said this morning, he can't save you now. He's already saved you. All you have to do is receive it. My father made this statement. It stuck with me for years, and I've quoted it around the world. There's only one thing you can do for God, just one, is to receive what he's done for you. Amen. Takes all the struggle out, doesn't it, Brother Keith? Just receive it. He did it. Just say, thank you, Lord, it's for me. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. He meant business when he saved you. Cost him a lot. Great debt. But he willingly did it, and I thank him for it. So may God help us. He's given us the opportunity. You know, you can go to the doctor. It's the same thing, just a little parable. You can go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription. But you must do something with that prescription. Say, oh, the doctor gave me a prescription. It's more than just receiving a prescription. You've got to take it. The person comes along and finds you dead on the doorstep at the doctor's office. Why is he dead? What did the doctor do? He gave them the prescription, but he never took it. You must receive the Lord. You must be baptized. And he will give you the Holy Ghost. But you've got to do it. Amen. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Have to do it. Don't just hold the prescription and say, oh, I know what God says. This is good. I know what it says. It's in here. But that's good. But have you done it? Faith without works is dead. But may God grant it to each one of us. Time comes and God shuts the door. God will shut the door like he did in Noah's day. The door was open. Everyone could come. Everyone on planet Earth had the opportunity to come into the ark. I've been on that ark. It was huge. And it could have taken a lot more people on board. But no one went up the plank. Noah preached 120 years, it's going to rain. Repent of your sins. God's going to judge the earth. Yes, Noah, thank you for that. We agree with you, Noah. But when it comes to entering in, into the ark, which is into Christ Jesus, they don't make the effort of going and receiving what God has provided. And most of the world were lost. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There will be very few saved in this generation, according to the Scriptures. If it keeps true to the parable, what Jesus said, as it was in Noah's day, 8 souls of planet Earth entered into the ark. I want to be one of those. At least 7. Is anyone else going to take those spots? Another one, 6 left. 5. You see what I mean? If it's a reality, you'll say, Lord, I want to be a part of that number. I just want to be a part of that. Above everything, above my job, above my position, above everything. I just want to be with you. He'll let you in if you mean it with all your heart. We know the stories. The people that went to go meet the Lord. 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. They were the bride, claiming to be. And you know what happened? Half. Half. There was 10, and 5 went in and 5 shut out. When God shuts the door, they made me come and said to Noah, oh, Noah, open the door, Noah. We see it, we believe what you're preaching, Noah. Please open the door. He said, I cannot, for I never closed it. The Bible says, and God shut the door of the ark. He had the keys, and he was the only one to open it. Those people had the opportunity to walk in, to redeem the opportunity they had. What an opportunity to go into the ark and be saved. And their families. And only Noah's family walked in. And God closed the door. We know the rest of the story. They were judged when Jesus went down into the souls in prison. After he'd risen. He went down to the souls in prison. And preached to them. Why were you disobedient in the days of Noah? He preached them a sermon. Too late. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I don't want to be having the Lord have to say that to me. Why didn't you do it? The church can't do it. The preachers can't do it. You have to do it. We've got to keep that in mind with all our hearts. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost when they saw the glory of God come down and 3,000 souls, the Bible says, were added to the church. They realized they'd crucified the Lord of glory. They said, men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do? Peter had the keys of heaven, opened the door and cried out, men and brethren. You can read this in Acts 2:38. He said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive. Hallelujah. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's all you got to do. Just do what he says. So let us redeem the time we have. Let us make good use of the opportunity we have. Not just a church goer, but you actually walk with God. How do we know there's time left for you? God is still calling you. That's how you know there's time. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except my Father draw him. So when God calls, he puts a desire in your heart, number one. You have a thirst for God, regardless what the preacher says, regardless what the church says, you want to get close to him. That's God calling you. Our time to seek after God. I want to finish with these scriptures before I let you go. I pray God will speak to your hearts. Really good scriptures to take home and study. First one's found in Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Time to seek the Lord. We're speaking about time, redeeming the opportunity. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Boy, this scripture is so real, this one. Isaiah 55 is one of my favorites. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, what does that tell you? There's times when he may not be found. You've got to come to God while he's calling. Call ye upon him while he's near. If you feel the Spirit of God drawing on you and on your heart and it's so real, you should be moving fast. Don't let that time slip by. Because you can't reverse it tomorrow. In Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. That's not get out of bed. This is speaking about spiritual illumination. To awake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And I say this, brother and sister, this afternoon, new people overseas, right now is the closest you've ever been to the coming of the Lord. You have never been this close right now. So therefore, you've got to make things all good. You've got to redeem the opportunity God gives you to wait on him and say, Lord, the truth is, I don't care what Brother Howard says. I don't care what the church says. But I do care what you said. And I do know your Spirit speaking to my heart. That I get to have a real experience with God. I got to meet you, Lord. And I want to meet you. And it says in Jeremiah, the last verse, 29 verse 13. He says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. People say, I sought the Lord with my heart, but was it with all your heart? He wants all of you. He gave his all for you, and he wants all of you. It's lamp trimming time, wise virgins. Let us redeem the time that God's given us. You need to pray to him. You need to seek him even tonight. Lord, I want to redeem the time because I might die tomorrow. I don't know. You may not. Hopefully you won't, but you don't know. Have you made good with God? This is the time. This is the opportunity. Shall we just pray? Shall we stand to our feet? Lord Jesus, we come to thee. Lord, we know that we need to redeem the time. The world's wasting their time on a whole lot of amusements, entertainments. There's no serious searching of the heart. We cannot change them, Lord. If we could, we would, but we cannot. We just need to search our own hearts, Lord, and make sure that we are redeeming the opportunity we've been given. I know, Lord, you're here, Lord, to speak to hearts here and afar. Wherever this message is, I pray, Lord, that you'll be gracious to every believer as they bow down before thee, Lord. Now, waiting on thee, may you be gracious to them. You will come to them, Lord. Help them, I pray. In the name of Jesus, move, Lord. Move in every heart, I pray. Commit this word to thee. Pray, Lord, will not return unto you void, but that it shall accomplish for that which it was sent. We ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, bless every brother and sister with us this morning. Lord, there are many hearts touched. They told me so. But Lord, I just pray that you'll continue the work, even tonight, even upon their beds, that you'll speak to hearts. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. A beautiful hymn, wonderful words, real message in it. So let us sing it unto the Lord. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let Taz, would you like to come up here, my brother? And I'll ask you to close in prayer and praise the Lord. Take my surrender, my
Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for coming and giving your life for ransom to save us from our sins. Lord, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were in total rebellion to you, O God. But because of your wonderful grace and your mercy, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you came into those of us who are of the elect. You came in, Lord, you took out our hearts of stone. You gave us your heart of flesh. You gave us your Spirit. The Spirit, Lord, that not only caused us to hear the gospel, but the Spirit that caused us to bow to the gospel. To bow our lives to the Christ of the gospel who gave his life to save us from our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your mission and that your salvation work on our behalf is still going on. You are our great high priest up in heaven. You're ever making intercession for the saints of the Most High. And your intercession for your people will never fail. Jesus, you said, those whom the Father gives me, I will lose none of them. And so you are up in heaven, Jesus, making intercession for your people, for your sheep. Even those of us that go astray, those of us that are struggling, Jesus, you don't let us go. You always come to seek us and to bring us back into the fold. So thank you for that wonderful ongoing work of Christ, our mediator, up in heaven, ever making intercession for the saints. And that in Christ, Father, we are also seated at your right hand. We are in that place of highest honor, sons and daughters of the living God. And so, Father, we celebrate that salvation. We give you praise, glory, and thanks, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.